This Mishnah continues to talk about a case of a walled structure which is inside of a house, usually used for storing water. And if there is a movable item placed on top of this structure, even though in general movable items do not have the ability to block impurity, if they are together with Dafnoi Sehalim, the walls of an oihel, in this case the walls of the structure are considered to be the walls of the oihel, which is formed by the roof of the house. So then even the movable item on top of it would gain the ability to block impurity. In the previous Mishnah, we saw an argument between Bishamai and Bishillel with regards to a candelabra which is inside of that structure, and a small part of the top of the candelabra stretches over the thickness of the top of the wall. And in that case, according to Bishamai, the candelabra, at least, although the other items inside of the structure would be protected, because the tumah is blocked by from getting in, since the candelabra itself is partly exposed, it would become tumah. This Mishnah shows that Bishamai agree in a different case, that the item which is on top of the thickness of the wall would not become tamei. And we are going to understand that the beginning of the Mishnah is talking about very small items, such as needles. These are not visible from the outside, and because of that, kelim shebein sifsei kfish arvein sifsei achadus, small items like these that are situated in between the rim, the edge of the basket that is placed on top of the structure, and the edges of the structure itself, meaning the top of the wall, even though this is pretty much the same position as that part of the candelabra was in the previous Mishnah, in this case, Bishamai agree that afilu ala tahoim tahoirim, any item which was either there or anywhere below that in the thickness of the wall would remain pure. Since these items are not visible from the outside, we define them as being considered inside the structure, and therefore they can, so to speak, benefit from the protection that is provided by the structure and the lid on top of it that block the impurity of the house from entering into that structure. On the other hand, tumoshom, if there is a piece of a dead body inside the structure, even in this case, habay is tomei, any item which is inside of the house would become tomei because of the concept of soif tumolotzeis, that eventually the piece of the dead body which is inside of that structure is going to be removed, and it's going to be removed via the rest of that house. So already from now, the items in the rest of the house would become tomei. Now the Mishnah talks about the same structure, which is inside of the house, it's got a wall going around, but in this case there is no lid on top of it. So certainly the items inside of this structure will become tomei. It's totally exposed to the rest of the airspace of the house, which is filled with impurity due to the fact that there's a dead body inside the house. But the Mishnah talks about other utensils. Tumah b'bayis, if there is a piece of a dead body in the house, kelim shebekos lehachados, utensils that are inside the thickness of the wall of this structure, im yeshbim koymon tefach al tefach al rum tefach, if there is an empty space over there inside of the wall, a hollow space of a tefach by a tefach by a tefach, which means that there is its own oihel inside the thickness of the wall, then tahoirim, those utensils would remain pure, because that's an oihel in and of itself. So it doesn't become tomei from the oihel of the house, which is filled with impurity, because this is its own oihel, which doesn't have an opening into the oihel of the house. However, v'im lav, if there is less than that space, which means that it's not considered to be its own oihel, so then it's like anything else which is inside of the house, and tomei, and it would become tomei. The Mishnah ends off with an interesting law. Im hoyu kosle achadus rechovim mishal bayis, if the wall of the structure was wider than the house itself, that is to say, part of the wall of the structure stretched outside of the house, and there are utensils inside of the thickness of the wall in the part that is outside of the house, bein kach uvein kach, whether there is a hollow space which creates an oihel, or even if there is no new oihel in and of itself created, the items would remain pure, because it's only the entire house that is filled with impurity. These items that are not inside of the house would not become tomei. Perek Beis Mishnah Aleph. In general, an earthenware item is only able to become tomei if it is a utensil that has the ability to hold and contain things, and that's what it is made for. And therefore, an earthenware oven, which in the times of the Mishnah was the most common type of oven, was cone-shaped, and it didn't have a top or bottom. It was attached to the ground, but it didn't even have a base, and because of that, it does not really fit into the criteria of a utensil that can become tomei. And according to the regular rules, it should not be considered a kli at all. However, it's mentioned explicitly in the Torah that a oven is able to become tameh. The possible explanation behind this is the fact that it's so commonly used and such an essential item that gives it a additional level of significance that it can become tameh. So it appears to be that although the oven firstly is not able to contain things itself, and in addition to that, it's generally attached to the ground. Something which is fixed to the ground cannot become tameh. However, despite those two reasons why the oven should not be able to become tameh, the Torah decrees that it is considered to be like all other movable kelim, and it can become tameh. And simply understood, the Torah is saying that although it does not fulfill all of the regular criteria, it is considered to be like a regular kli. And the relevance for our Masechta is that we learned earlier on at the beginning of the sixth perek, the sixth chapter, that in the same way as a regular movable item does not have the ability to block impurity, so too an oihel that is being supported by a regular movable item cannot block impurity. So to the extent that the Torah is viewing the oven just like a regular movable item, in that it is saying that it can become tameh, and the Torah is considering it a kli, so if there is an oihel being supported by the oven, it should not be able to block tumah. All this having been said, an oven is only considered to be a kli that can become tameh once it's been fully completed. And that is once the oven has been heated up and hardened, such that it is turned into proper earthenware, but before it has been heated up, and it's in its clay form that is not yet hardened properly, even the oven is not able to become tameh, and at that point we view it as if it's not even considered to be a kli. So what emerges is very interesting. The fact that a kli does not block tumah, or something which is supported by a kli does not block tumah, we learn that doesn't only apply to kelim that can become tameh. Even a kli that does not have the ability to become tameh, for example, it's made out of stone, as long as it has a proper use, it's considered to be a kli, and it does not block impurity. Now, the main reason why the oven should be able to block impurity is because it is attached to the ground. But by the Torah saying that it can become tameh, the Torah is telling us to view the oven as if it's like a regular movable item, like a regular movable kli, and therefore it would not be able to block tumah. Now, logically, we very much could have understood that this is a revelation on every type of oven. Even if this particular oven is not yet able to become tameh because it hasn't been completed yet, hasn't been heated up. But at the end of the day, it's an oven, and the Torah said we should view ovens as if they are movable items, and therefore they do not have the ability to block tumah. But we're going to see in this Mishnah that is not the case, and only an oven that is able to become tameh do we view like a movable item. So again, the fact that a kli does not block tumah is not dependent upon it being able to become tameh, it's dependent on its status of a movable item. However, an oven which is not a movable item, just what the Torah says that we should view it as if it's a movable item, since the Torah only said that with regards to a oven that has been completed and is therefore able to become tameh, only such an oven is considered to be like a movable item also for the laws of blocking tumah. Neser shehu nosan al pitan chadosh, a wooden board that does not have the status of a kli, it's not useful at all, and therefore it is able to block tumah. But over here it is placed and resting on top of a new oven. A new oven refers to an oven that has not yet been completed, it's still in its clay form, and therefore it's not able to become tameh. And in the same way as it's not able to become tameh, we also say that we view it as it really is. It's attached to the ground, it's not a movable item, and therefore it does have the ability to block tumah. The Oidev Mikol Tzodov Befeseach Tefach, the board extends on all sides of the oven by at least the width of a tefach, so an oihel is formed all around it. Tumah Tachtov, if there is a piece of a dead body underneath the parts of the board that extend beyond the oven, Kelim She'al Gabov Tahirim, the items which are even directly above the piece of the dead body, as long as it's above the board, they would remain pure, because the board blocks the tumah from traveling beyond it. Likewise, Tumah al Gabov, if there's a piece of a dead body above the board, Kelim Shetachtov Tahirim, the utensils that are underneath the board, even those which are directly underneath the piece of the dead body, would remain pure, because the board has the ability to block the Tumah. Now, in the case where the piece of the dead body is underneath the board, the Mishnah implies that only the items that are above the board will remain pure. But all of the items which are underneath the board, including the ones that are inside of the oven, would become tomei. And the reason for this is because the wooden board is considered to be a full oihel, so much so that it even blocks impurity from passing beyond it, but it also spreads the impurity to anything which is underneath that roof. And the items inside of the oven are also underneath the exact same roof. Only if the wooden board would have been sealed fully and stuck to the oven would that protect the items inside of the oven. But since the wooden board is just placed on top of it, so that which is inside of the oven is also considered to be underneath that same oihel, and therefore it would become tomei. Continues the Mishnah, uvayoshon, if the oven that is under discussion was an old oven, which means that it has already been heated up and it is able to become tomei. We understand that the Torah says that we should view the oven as if it's like a regular movable item. After all, only a movable item is able to become tomei. So included in that which the Torah says that the oven can become tomei is view the oven as if it is a movable item, a movable kli, and therefore the wooden board is being supported by a kli. So it does not have the ability to block tumah, and therefore regardless of where the piece of the dead body is, all of the items underneath and above the wooden board, tomei would become tomei. Even if, let's say, the piece of the dead body is somewhere above the board, the impurity spreads directly below it, and it's not blocked by the wooden board, and as soon as the tumor enters any part of the oihel which is formed by the board, it spreads to the entire area underneath the board, and since, once again, the board does not block tumor, so all of that impurity rises to any of the items which are above the board as well. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, although he agrees with the Tanakhama, the first opinion of the Mishnah, with regards to the oven itself, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri mitaher. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that the oven remains pure. The items inside of the oven, since they are underneath the board, will become tomei. But the oven itself will remain pure. And the logic of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is that although it's true that we can see from the fact that the Torah says an oven can become tomei, that the Torah views it like a movable kli, and that's why the wooden board which is being supported by it cannot block tumah. However, since a oven is not really supposed to be able to become tomei according to the regular rules, the oven itself can only become tomei in the particular case that the Torah specified, and that is when a piece of a dead body enters into the airspace of the oven. But in this case, where it's only the impurity which comes as a result of a piece of a dead body which is elsewhere, either directly on top of it, and the same would apply to a regular oven which is inside a house, which has a dead body inside of the house. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the oven itself would not become tomei, because the oven can only become tomei in that specific case that the Torah specified of the piece of the dead body entering into the airspace of the oven itself. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri does agree that the fact that this oven is able to become tomei in a specific case, it's true, only if the piece of the dead body is inside, but the fact that the oven is able to become tomei, that already tells me that the Torah views it like a movable item, and therefore the wooden board which is on top of it would not have the ability to block tumah because it is being supported by something that is like a movable kli. Continues the Mishnah, and I'll shnei tanurim, if the wooden board was placed on top of two ovens that are next to each other, tumah b'neihem, if there is a piece of a dead body in the area between them, underneath the wooden board, once again, according to the first opinion, the Tanakhama, heim tameim, all of the items underneath or above the board would become tomei, but Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri mitaher. Once again, over here, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that the ovens themselves would remain pure, since the piece of the dead body is not inside of the oven. We don't view the two ovens as if they are part of one large oven which has two parts, in which case possibly it could have been argued that it's considered to be within the airspace of the earthenware oven. No, these are certainly considered to be two separate earthenware ovens, and therefore the piece of the dead body is not considered to be inside of them, so the ovens themselves would remain pure, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Mishnah Beis, an oven whose top, the opening at the top of the oven, is sealed fully shut, to the extent that impurity is not able to enter into the oven. Such an oven, if it was inside of a house that had a dead body in, would not become tomei because of the protection of mukov tzomid posel. If there are no openings to the earthenware item, or to any other item that cannot become tomei, at least from the outside, since the tumah is not able to enter into the inside of the item, the oven and all that is inside of it would remain pure. Now, if an oihel, which is not considered to be a kli at all, is placed on top of this oven, for example, the board that was discussed in the previous Mishnah that can block impurity as long as it's not being supported by a movable kli, or an oven that can become tomei, If that board was placed on this oven that is mukov tzomid pasil, the law is that the oihel on top of it would block tumah. And we can explain one of two reasons for this. Either it's something totally technical, that an oven whose opening at the top is totally sealed shut is now a useless oven. The heat and the smoke can no longer escape, so it's a useless oven. In which case the oven stops being a kli, it can no longer become tomei at all, just because of the mere fact that it's useless. It can't be used anymore. So automatically the board on top of it is no longer being supported by a useful kli. So it would have the ability to block tumah from passing through it. Alternatively, even if one wants to say that the oven does still have the status of a useful kli, it could still be that the board on top of it would still block tumah, in the same way as we saw in the previous Mishnah with regards to an oven that has not yet been completed, and therefore the novel outlook that the Torah introduced to view it as if it's a movable item doesn't apply to such an oven. So it's possible that even with regards to an oven that has been completed, but it's fully protected and therefore it's not able to become tomei, it could be that with even with regards to this oven, this new outlook of seeing it as if it's a movable item was never said, because that was only said about an oven that is able to become tomei. Be it as it may, this Mishnah talks about serida, an earthenware board that is considered to be a movable kli itself, and therefore it does not have the ability to block tumah, and shehina sunah al pi hatanun mukov tzomid pasil. It is placed right on top of the opening at the top of an oven, and the oven's opening is fastened shut fully. So the oven itself is not able to become tomei. So if there would be a wooden board, like in the previous Mishnah, resting on top of it, then the impurity would be blocked by that wooden board. However, since we're talking about an earthenware board, this did have certain uses. People could lie down on it, for example, when it wasn't on top of the oven, and therefore it does not have the ability to block tumah from passing through it. Now, we're talking about a case where this earthenware board extends beyond the edge of the oven by at least a tefach on each side, so that forms an oihel all around the oven. Since the earthenware board does not have the ability to block tumah tachto al-gabov, if there is a piece of a dead body underneath or above the part of the board that extends beyond the oven, hakol tomei, all of the items both underneath and above the board would become tomei. It's all considered to be one combined oihel, which transfers the impurity to everything underneath it, and since it doesn't block the tumah, that all rises to above the board as well. However, since the oven itself cannot become tomei, and the impurity does not enter into the oven, so since the oven takes up the entire height from the floor until the very oihel itself, that entire middle part of the oihel did not become tomei. And therefore, keneged avir shel taner tohar, the items which are directly above the airspace of the oven, also remain pure because the impurity is not underneath there for it to travel upwards. The oihel didn't manage to spread the tumah to that part of the oihel even underneath it, so all the more so it's not going to spread upwards to the area above the oven. Now, if you imagine, let's say, an oven that was floating in the middle of the air, which means that there was tumah that entered into that area underneath the oven, so then the area above the oven and above the board would become tomei. It's just that over here, that entire middle part of the oihel was taken up by the oven, and therefore the tumah never entered into that part of the oihel at all. Tumah keneged avir shel taner, if there's a piece of a dead body directly above the airspace of the oven, above the board, keneged ad harakia tomei, anything directly in line with that until the sky would become tomei, but that does not spread to the area underneath the board, because the only way that it would do that is by going straight downwards and then spreading, but it can't go downwards because it is not able to enter into the oven, because there is no opening to the oven. Mishnah Gimel, Neser Shunosan al Pitano Yoshon, a wooden board that is placed on the opening at the top of an oven, an old oven that is able to become tomei. The truth is the identical law would apply even to an oven that is not able to become tomei, because the focus over here is not in terms of the blockage of the tumah from passing beyond the board, but rather the spread of the tumah to the other areas underneath that oihel. Because whereas in the previous two Mishnayos, the board extended at least a tefach on all sides of the oven, so that whole area around it was considered one joint oihel. But in this case, it only extends beyond the edge of the oven, yoytze mizeh umizeh tefach. It extends one tefach on two opposite sides, avalominat stodin, but not on the other two sides. If there is a piece of a dead body underneath the board on one side, items that are underneath the same board on the other side of the oven would remain pure. And we're going to understand, although it's a large debate, we're going to understand simply that we're talking about an oven that is mukov tzomid posel. The oven itself is fully sealed and therefore it cannot become tome. And as such, that serves as a separation between the board on either side, and they are considered to be two different ohalim, two separate ohels, and that is why the tumor would not spread to the kalim on the other side. However, Rabbi Yossi says that the utensils on the other side would become tome because he views all of this as one ohel. There happens to be an oven in the middle which is protected from the impurity, but the oven is considered to be underneath that ohel as well. The entire board serves as the same joint ohel, and anything underneath it which is not totally sealed can become tome. Now, even Rabbi Yossi agrees in the case of habitach, which appears to be a sort of bathtub that is attached to the ground, so it cannot become tome. If there is a wooden board placed along the top of the bathtub, and again it extends only on the two ends, even Rabbi Yossi agrees that in that case, the wooden board would not transfer the impurity from the tumor which is on one side to the other, because the bathtub is considered to be a more significant separation than the oven. Now what happens if either as well as or instead, there was a ledge or a board that extended out of an adjacent wall and that covered the bathtub? And again, it extended over both sides of the bathtub, not all four sides, but two of the sides. Rabbi Eliezer says that even in this case, it does not spread the impurity from a piece of a dead body that is on one side of the bathtub to the items on the other side. However, Rabbi Yeshua says that in this case, since the ledge is not attached to the bathtub itself, it's not directly on top of it, so certainly we view the ledge as being one item, forming one ohel, and anything else underneath it is considered to be inside of that ohel. So we view the bathtub as if it's not there, because it's irrelevant that it's there. All of the items there are considered to be under the same ohel, and the upper ledge that is coming out of this wall would spread the impurity from the piece of the dead body, which is on one side of the bathtub, to the items on the other side of the bathtub. Now the truth is, we're talking about a case where the ledge is within a tefach of the bathtub, and only because of that, Rabbi Eliezer rules that the impurity is not able to pass from one side of the bathtub to the other.